Are you ready, Alabama?
Oh, the band is out on the field!
The band is leaving the field.
And one time, at band camp,
love the drum.
Man, I do love my drum.
You say that's what she said one more time, I'm gonna pop you.
You're welcome to join the doghouse.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry. I keep doing that.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
Be a dog.
The clock starts on my whistle.
How you doing?
It's time for the second half of the Tom Abraham Show.
Vamanos!
Here he is, the head of the household. Here's drum major Big Dog. It's Tom Abraham.
We strong!
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
Well, Nick's definitely not taking a week off. He's got spring ball starting tomorrow. He's got to decide on a quarterback. He's got to decide by next week who the quarterback is going to be for next season. He's got to tell everyone. And we need to know. I mean, he needs to tell us. We need to know. We have a right to know. We want to know. There's a difference between need to know and want to know. We don't know who the quarterback is going to be against Louisville. Damon Amendola joins us from CBS Sports Radio. DA, how are you?
Good, Big Dog. What's going on?
Isn't there a difference between need to know and want to know? Because we think we're on a need to know basis. You know, and here in the Dirty South, we got all of this, spring ball getting going and everything else. And of course, the big quarterback battle at Alabama would be between Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. And the reality is, either guy can start all the way till the LSU game in November, and it doesn't matter. I mean, right? I mean, they can play either of those guys can win every game, and then they got to go to LSU. They get Auburn at home, SEC championship game potentially, and then the playoff games. It only matters for those last four games. Either of those guys can win, can get them to 10-0 probably.
Might not even matter in terms of getting to the LSU game. It might only matter the Auburn game. It might only matter in terms of if they can get to the halftime of the national championship game within striking distance. Because after what just happened a couple of months ago, I think that at this point now, Saban feels pretty good just going like the hot hand, no matter what quarter or half it is.
Yeah, that's a great point. I was just telling T-Mac during the break, by the way, that 140, and you'll get a kick out of this because you know we've done regional sports together. Lacrosse is a great example. People didn't understand how there could be 15,000 people for a Philadelphia Wings lacrosse game back in the day, you know, in the building, and people would talk, what are you talking about, lacrosse, box lacrosse, indoor lacrosse? But I spent the weekend at the Bassmaster Classic in my dual life as one of the hosts and the host of Bassmaster Radio, and I did some TV there and some other things. 143,000 people showed up in South Carolina over a three-day period to watch those guys weigh in fish and to watch them take off at the ramp and drive the boat out into the lake and come back and go to the expo. 143,000 people, DA.
That's amazing. So what do these people do? Are they actually fans of these these fishermen? And so they just watch them go out in the boat and then – once they watch them go out on the boat, what do they do to kill time until the fishermen actually come back and weigh the fish?
You go to the expo. They have an outdoor expo, which is the biggest outdoor show in the world. So what happens is you'll have several thousand people show up at the lake, and they're wearing like jerseys of the fishermen and stuff like that because, you know, they got jerseys and, you know, they look like NASCAR guys. So there are guys walking around with, you know, jerseys on of their favorite fishermen and whatnot. And then the boats will take off at 7:30. They got, you know, beautiful sound system there. They play music. They announce each angler individually. They go out to their boat and get in and take off and all that stuff. And people cheer and it's good. And then I was doing live hits down there and all that stuff. And then everybody then heads to the convention center and go to the expo. And then they go over to the arena, which is a 15,000 seat arena. and watch the weigh-in, and it's a show. I mean, Jason Aldean played one day, and they do, you know, they give away stuff, and, you know, it's a big show. And then the boats drive right into the arena, and they drive up to the stage, and the guys dramatically get out and reach in the boat, and they pull out their fish, and it's a big deal. I mean, people love it. They go nuts.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And so what is the proper nomenclature here? Am I supposed to call them fishermen or anglers?
Well, anglers is a little more sophisticated thing to do it, but fishermen is it's still always good with fishermen. But anglers is basically the term that they use because technically a woman could qualify. It's very unlikely,
right?
But, you know, technically a woman could. So just like they went from gentlemen start your engines to racers start your engines. That's what they did that in motorsports. So now, you know, technically they go with anglers. But hey, the kid that won back-to-back, he was a national champion at Auburn. He's 25 years old, won back-to-back, won $300,000 first place, million-dollar tournament. And, you know, that doesn't suck either for catching fish.
No, it doesn't. I mean, just to fish is amazing. And I'm not saying that there's not pressure on them and there's a lot of work there, but, man, I love fishing. If I could actually make money on fishing, that sounds like I could make money on, like, napping, or I could make money on eating at a buffet. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, right. And what was even more ironic in this case is that this kid, like I say, he's from Auburn. The lake it was fished on was Lake Hartwell, which is the lake that Clemson sits on. Clemson University actually has his lake frontage on Lake Hartwell in South Carolina, Anderson, Clemson, Greenville, South Carolina area. And so he won the Bassmaster Classic and the World Championship on the lake that Clemson sits on, and then 2 hours later watched Clemson beat Auburn like 110-20 or something, you know, that night. So I think Clemson was probably motivated by the fact that an Auburn kid won on their lake. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, that's got to be it. Wow, that's pretty cool. That sounds like a bucket list item. That almost sounds like the perfect Nomad episode.
So, oh, yeah. Oh, you should do one. You really should do one. I mean, last year, regular Bassmaster Elite Series tournament in the Thousand Islands had 32,000 people outside at the final weigh-in on Sunday, on Championship Sunday. 32,000 people showed up. And you know how that is it was on the St. Lawrence River. Did I say Finger Lakes? Up on the St. Lawrence River. And they, you know, they came from like five counties because there ain't 32,000 people that live on, you know, anywhere near the St. Lawrence River. It's just not, you know, it's desolate up there.
That's pretty wild. I like all of this as an idea. The visuals are pretty amazing. Now, do they throw the fish back or do they?
Yeah,
do they keep
those there's
bad boys?
A great deal of fish care. They got about a 98% to 99% rate of you're releasing the fish alive. The fish are kept in live wells on the boats that have treatment of the water and so on that keeps them good. The fish are out of the boat for maybe 2 minutes. They weigh them. They're given right to the conservation people. They put them in a holding tank. They take them back to the lake and put them into a boat that has a big tank. It's a big tanker boat that goes out into the lake so that the fish aren't all released at the same place. Goes out into the lake and then releases the fish all over the lake. So, yeah.
This is very nice. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I like this.
Well, you don't
I'm learning a lot in this this segment from you. This is all good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Jim Boeheim, if he's like a favorite, he gets beat by Richmond. But if he's in a tournament he shouldn't even be in, he's, you know, they're in the Sweet 16. How whacked is this Syracuse run? And now we get Syracuse and Duke. I mean, it's one thing to get Boeheim and Izzo. Now we're going to get Boeheim and Krzyzewski. And I don't know that Syracuse can't beat them either.
I don't think they can because I watched Syracuse all season long, and when it came to the real top-end talent teams that could run, that could shoot, that could push tempo, that had scorers, they just couldn't keep up because Syracuse doesn't have a lot of depth. They don't have any depth. They don't have any real scoring. They don't have any real rebounding. And what they're doing is kind of getting by on grit, on hustle, 50-50 balls, and really good defense right now because of the 2-3 zone that obviously can entrap a lot of teams. But what you just said is absolutely right on, and I find this hysterical. Now that there's a narrative out there that Syracuse always wins this time of year, you know, they, we kind of hear this from team to the playoffs, like the New York Giants. If the Giants get into the playoffs, they always win this time of year. Well, people are failing to realize that forever the exact opposite was the narrative of the Syracuse Orange. There's this idea that, well, if Jim Boeheim gets into the tournament, he always wins games. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. He had great teams in the 80s, in the 90s, in the 2000s that would get upset and tossed out by inferior teams all the time. I mean, Syracuse lost to Vermont in that crazy T.J. Sorrentine game. They lost to, as you said, the first 2-15 upset ever when Richmond dumped them. This is a team that many times I was following either as a student or as an alumni, even before then. And they would go into the tournament as a heavy favorite and not make it out of the opening weekend. And the one thing you could always say was, wow, why does Syracuse have so much talent, but Jim Boeheim can't win in the tournament? And now, because of two fluky runs 2 years ago, they were in a 10 seed. They made it to the Final Four. And now they're an 11 seed, and they go to the Sweet 16. The entirety of the narrative change, which is just totally insane. So I don't know how this bizarre world happened, but yeah, here we are.
Now, why don't you know? Because some people were texting me during the season, knowing that you know I'm from that region and you know I always pulled for Syracuse basketball and all that, and they say, well, what happened to Syracuse? Why isn't Syracuse? Why doesn't Syracuse get top talent anymore? There are no one and dones going to Syracuse. I mean, since Carmelo Anthony, I mean, I'm trying. How come Syracuse doesn't get the top guys anymore? And that now Syracuse is a Cinderella story. You know, oh, look at that, how cute Syracuse is. They barely snuck into the tournament. If they had 67 teams in this tournament instead of this god awful number of 68, the Cuse wouldn't even have been there. Why can't he get anybody? Why don't they get top-notch guys?
Well, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about Syracuse basketball out there right now. Number one, they do still get a lot of NBA talent, and they still get really good guys. They might not get Marvin Bagley, DeAndre Ayton, or Carmelo Anthony, but there's only five schools that do, and Syracuse really hasn't ever been that school. I mean, Carmelo was a remarkable kind of an anomaly, because really since Derek Coleman and Billy Owens in the 80s, they had not been getting top-end McDonald's All-Americans forever. And then Carmelo kind of changed a lot of that. But they haven't created NBA stars, but if you go down the list, every year they have an NBA player. I mean, last year Tyler Lydon got drafted near the end of the first round, but actually I think sometime in the 20s. Tyus Battle is going to be in the NBA. He's their point guard right now. You had Tyler Ennis a couple of years ago, who I believe went one and done. After that, they've had not good NBA players. I mean, you've had Michael Carter Williams, who I believe was one and done. Mm-hmm. They've had a number of guys. Wes Johnson, Johnny Flynn was an NBA lottery pick. So they've actually had a lot of NBA talent. The problem is, since they've gone to the ACC, Jim Boeheim's coaching isn't nearly as effective. The coaching's just better in the ACC. In the Big East, he was one of the two or three best coaches in the conference every year by far. Now they got to the ACC, and also Syracuse always had good talent, maybe not elite national talent, but very good talent, and that played well in the Big East. In the ACC, when it was Rick Pitino and Coach K, and Roy Williams, and now at that next level, it's the Buzz Williams and the Mike Brays. These are good coaches, and there is no easy nights in the ACC, which means since they've moved there for 5 years, they become a 500 team in conference. And so it's just been luck of the draw. I mean, the last 5 years, they have been a bubble team each and every year because this is who they are in the ACC. And it just so happened that 1 year they took themselves out of the running because of the probation. 1 year they didn't make the tournament, which is last year. 2 years ago they were a bubble team and happened to go on a Cinderella run because the region broke well for them. And this year they're a Cinderella team again because, they've won a couple of games. But I think that there's, Syracuse is not the little engine that could. They just become a very average ACC team. And I think it's because they're fighting in their own weight class, which they weren't for a long time.
Yeah. And I don't know what to make of the ACC because on the one hand, I'm looking at Duke is still standing, Clemson destroyed Auburn, and You know, you look at some of the teams that, Florida State, you know, is, has gotten through, and they'll take on Gonzaga in a wacky West. But UNC gets dumped. I had them in the national championship game losing to Michigan State. That tells you about my bracket and how bad it is now. And then Virginia gets beat by like a welding school or something, you know, and I mean like a community college or who the hell are these people? This Maryland, Baltimore County community, you know, I don't need, do they have a dorm or anything or, you know, the Retrievers or something like that. And, it's one of the crazy upsets ever, regardless of the fact that UVA not having their sixth man of the year and all of that.
The UMBC win, I really believe that's the greatest upset in college basketball history, and I think that's a top three or four upset in any sport at all times, because it wasn't like Virginia was the fourth number one seed. It wasn't like they suddenly suffered some type of great injury to starters. I mean, yes, they lost DeAndre Hunter, their sixth man of the year, but it still means they had every starter from a team that lost one game in the ACC. One game they lost in the ACC this year.
Right.
And UMBC, as you mentioned, is a commuter school that was a 16 seed. Now, granted, maybe they're slightly better than your traditional number 16 seed, but they won by 20 points. I mean, it was a demolition, and that is just one of the most stunning upsets ever that I've ever witnessed. But the ACC actually has four schools in the Sweet 16, so they did lose North Carolina, but they still got Clemson. They have Duke and Syracuse still dancing. So, you know, it's hard to think that they had a down year. It's just, I think maybe it didn't break the way that some people thought, because Syracuse is still dancing and, you know, a team like North Carolina is not. I was shocked at what happened to North Carolina. Did not see that coming. But I don't know if you could say, or maybe the ACC has three schools left. I don't know if you could say that it's down, because I think Duke still could be playing for the national championship game, and Clemson's looked really good through the first 2 weeks.
No, you were right. Four. You were right. Four. Duke, Syracuse, Clemson, and Florida State. You know, so
Florida State. Right.
Florida State, which knocked off Xavier. I thought maybe Missouri would get Xavier, but I thought they were spongy anyway. But I mean, I literally could have made my bracket out and then flipped every single game, and I'd be at the top 10. I'd probably be in the top 10 in our listener contest. I got six teams left, DA. Six teams left. I mean, I've never seen a bracket that got this sideways this fast as mine did. And you know, this Loyola Chicago taking out. And I was in 11th place after the first round, and then everything went away in the second round. I still have Kentucky and Villanova, but I had Michigan State and UNC, and I don't know, Tom Izzo fooled me, I guess. I thought that Michigan State was the team to beat this year. I thought they were going to go on one of the Michigan State runs.
Poorly coached game in how they lost to Syracuse. Jaren Jackson, who's going to be a lottery pick, basically stuck on the bench with Tom Izzo. It was a team that seemed to get really tight. I wonder, Jim Boeheim alluded to this after the game, that maybe playing at home, they played in Detroit, actually hurt them there, because once they got kind of cold down the stretch, they were really, really tight, because the entire arena went silent and the pressure was on them, and it was really quiet and whatnot and eerie. But I think that Michigan State was a little bit of a fraud. I didn't have them going deep. I had them beating – actually, I had them beat them TCU. The DC would do in SU, but I think they were a little bit of a fraud, because they started to get worn down, I believe, by the end of the season with the questions around the Larry Nassar investigation, which ended up obviously bleeding into their program. Tom Izzo, I thought, became exhausted and or kind of agitated at that line of questioning by the end of the season. I saw them in the Big Ten tournament. They lost to Michigan. I thought they looked slow-footed and heavy. So I did not expect them to dance. But to your point, my bracket's, I mean, just wreckage anyway, just like yours. And it's because I knew there was going to be upsets. Watching college basketball this year, you just knew the good teams were all flawed. Every one of them. I mean, Duke and Villanova lost to St. John's this year. I mean, in the course of a week, it didn't make any sense. St. John's had lost 11 straight games of the Big East. So you just knew that everybody was flawed, but I just picked the wrong upsets. I thought
that's the problem.
Their defense would be able to continue to dance. And I thought that North Carolina, because of its pace, would be able to keep dancing. And the issue was I just had all the wrong upsets because, you know, you just what you realized in this last two, 4 days was what you thought you knew, you just have no idea about.
Yeah, well, that's the problem is that you get now you're trying to pick which upsets is damn near impossible. Damon Amendola with us, CBS Sports Radio. And finally, you know, when you look at this tournament too, you wonder if the basketball gods were at play a little bit here. I mean, there's a little basketball karma thing going on. You mentioned the Nassar thing. Michigan State gets whacked way early. UNC, right, the poster child for, you know, I still don't understand how they survived all of that and even have a program, you know, with all the fake classes and all of that investigation that went on there. North Carolina gets blowed out of this thing. And then Arizona gets beat by Buffalo, who when I left New York was a Division III team. Okay, they were a Division III school when I left New York. And Arizona, which was a trendy pick. You know, I had Arizona getting beat by Kentucky. I didn't even have to worry about it. You know what I mean? You know, and so you wonder, all of these teams that had, or I guess I'm looking at who's left over, you know, Louisville, you know, they're playing over there in the NIT. I don't even know if they're alive in that thing. Who watches that? But the teams that had all of those issues swirling around them, they kind of had these unbelievable falls from grace. Auburn was supposed to be a one seed 4 weeks ago, and you know, they got beat by 50. You know, I mean, it was kind of weird the way all of that stuff happened.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder if it did wear on the team or wear on the coaches or become a distraction in some way, shape, or form. I absolutely feel like that happened against for Arizona. It felt like to me Arizona was playing with the weight of the world on its shoulders when it played against Buffalo in that game. And, you know, I don't think the community did any favor to some of the schools that they thought were going to be in the middle of this probe. And, you know, could end up being found guilty. So it does make you wonder if there was some cause and effect there. But, you know, the NCAA tournament, and you tell me if you agree with this, Big Dog. I love it from a sporting event, and I've loved what I've seen so far because it's so unpredictable. But it is the only sporting event that is this large where the television coverage is so unsophisticated. The play-by-play color guys have been fantastic, and Debbie Antonelli being a color woman. Right. I thought that all of the studio stuff has been horrendous. Yeah. And I think leads to America not knowing anything about college basketball because we only watch this month. And when we get this month, it's Charles and Kenny and Ernie, and nobody knows anything about the games. So I'm watching all these upsets happen, and then you're waiting for the post-game coverage like, oh, my God, how is this happening? And they can't tell you because they have no idea. And it kind of leads us to just being like an audience in a country of people that have no idea what we're watching besides, oh, it's kind of crazy basketball.
Yeah, well, they forced us into the NBA crew. You know, having Charles and the Jet marginal. But those guys, it's just that's so hard to watch those guys. I've been watching more of the other ones. Now his name just jumped out of my head. The good-looking bald guy, he does a great job. And
got Brendan Haywood and Wally Zerbiak. And
who's
Candace
the girl
Parker
from
Tennessee?
What's her name? The girl from Tennessee. She's been very good. Her name just jumped. Getting old
Parker.
Sucks. Candace Parker, yeah. Candace Parker and Haywood, those guys have been really good over there. They understand what's going on, I think, a little bit more with the college game. They force it on us, but then they're forcing the TNT thing, and I'll be honest with you. I mean, how the national championship, the Final Four is not on CBS, it doesn't make no sense to me. The selection show was over there, and then the first four starts on the Judge Judy channel or something. I don't even know what the hell that True TV. I mean, it's like, what? Oh, wait, there's Matlock. And then there's the this is the NCAA tournament, and coming up next is you know the Andy Griffith Show or something. I mean, you got to be kidding me. True TV, if this thing is that big a deal, how do you start the tournament off on True TV? It took me till like the second half of the first game to find a damn thing.
I was chuckling yesterday because right Nance. And that crew was on the UMBC Kansas State game. And so that was on True TV. So Nance has got to do a read for True TV going out to break. And he didn't know the name of the television show. He didn't know how to pronounce the name of the guy. And to be frank, I don't know either because I never watched True TV. But I'm like, oh boy, this is awkward because now we're doing reads and promos for shows that that the play-by-play guy has never heard of yet.
Yeah,
and in for- I think that it's just really unfortunate with the Turner crew, the Kenny and Ernie and Charles, because I mean, could you imagine if we had the college football final for the playoff and the Rose Bowl or the Sugar Bowl, and you had Jimmy Johnson and Terry Bradshaw and Howie Long doing it? Like, we would all freak out as college football fans. But,
That's a great analogy.
Breaking down college basketball. It's like, wow, this just leads to everybody not knowing anything about what's going on.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. And I'm really missing Uncle Vern on the games, you know, on some game. You know, it's always good to have him in a rotation. I love Nestler, and Nance and those guys, but you miss hearing Vern Lundquist's voice. That's just the part of getting old is when you miss a guy like that. All right, I don't want you to go away without telling me how, and there's a little bit of selfishness to this question, but how certain are you percentage wise that the Giants and the Jets now will take a quarterback at 2 and 3? Because it really sets up, you know, the big winner here is Cleveland. Because they now can take they can take their quarterback, whichever one they think is the best quarterback, and then come back and take Barkley or Chubb or whoever they think is best at 4. They're in great shape, unless you think the Giants are going to take Saquon Barkley or the Jets. And you know the story, right, that he's got a Jets tattoo and is him and his dad and his family, they're huge, huge Jets fans and everything else. I don't think they moved up to 3 to take Barkley, though.
I don't either. I would say I'm about 90%, 85 to 90% sure that it's going to go quarterbacks 1, 2, 3. I think that the Jets don't trade away 3 2s and all that draft capital to move up to 3 to take anything but a quarterback. I think that's the type of draft capital you give up when you need a quarterback. And clearly the Jets have needed one for quite some time now. I think the New York Giants are not going to let the New York Jets in town, in stadium, draft the franchise quarterback of the future one spot behind the Giants and let that guy and let the Jets have a franchise QB for the next 12 years in this town. I just don't see it happening unless the Giants are going to take their shot as well at quarterback. Also, it makes total sense right now considering the Giants are trying to seemingly load up to be very competitive in the acquisitions they made in the offseason, that they want one last run with Eli Manning this year, 2018. But I don't think that they're planning on Eli Manning in 2019. I think the plan right now is draft your quarterback at 2. Eli gets this season, and then in the offseason, they say goodbye to Eli, and the second-year kid, the draftee, takes over to start week 1 of 2019. So I think that's the way that it sets up. I would be very shocked, and I also think it would be a big mistake if the Giants did not take a quarterback. They don't draft this high ever. The last time they drafted this high was Lawrence Taylor in 1981. Right. They don't ever draft this high. It's a quarterback-laden draft. You get at least your number two guy. I think they have to take a quarterback at number two anyway.
Damon Amendola, catch him on the CBS Sports Radio Network. And he's on the app if you need to hit the CBS Sports Radio app. And you can catch him from 8 to 11 Central Time there. D.A., appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Big Dog. See ya.
It's a good break. We'll keep the draft conversation going with Jeff Kavanaugh next. He's joining us right here on 730-1039,
The Ump. WUMP Sports Radio, The Ump.
If you ever want to buy a house or a car, you're going to want to know your credit score. If there's a mistake on your credit report, you could pay more in interest rates and fees than you have to. Where can you go online to quickly get your credit score and credit report for free? CreditKarma.com/radio. Check it whenever you like. It's free and there's no catch. Don't get an unwanted surprise about your credit score. Go to CreditKarma.com/radio. That's CreditKarma.com/radio.
Hi, I'm Darla from CentOS.
Oh, thank goodness you're here. We have so much to do. I need fire extinguishers, right?
We'll place them for you and be out for regular inspection.
Great. And what about my new hires?
We'll get them into uniforms and keep them looking sharp.
What about this first aid cabinet?
Fully stocked.
It wasn't this morning.
It is now. And so are the restrooms.
Wow, CentOS really seems to know what we need.
You said it.
Oh, I'm ready! Learn how CentOS can help you get ready for the workday. Visit CentOS.com.
Your parents took care of you. Then, one day, you start caring for them. It's one of those moments when people realize that where you get your medicine matters. And they look to CVS Pharmacy for advice and ways to save money. Plus, you can earn up to 50 extra bucks rewards each year just for filling prescriptions. So join us at CVS Pharmacy. Terms and conditions apply. Not valid on all prescriptions, including those purchased in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Other state restrictions apply. See CVS.com/pharmacy rewards or the pharmacy for details.
Do you know someone who is struggling with addiction? Do you need help educating your children about the dangers of drug use? Narcanon has been educating parents and children on the dangers of drug abuse and rehabilitating those struggling with drug addiction for over 50 years. If you or someone you know is struggling with drug addiction, call today for free information and referrals. Call 877-959-0098. That's 877-959-0098 for free assessment and referrals.
Migraine is a disabling disease affecting over 36 million Americans. The American Migraine Foundation helps people living with migraine to find the support and treatment they need. Make your move against migraine at AmericanMigraineFoundation.org.
The Ump, where champions are crowned.
The 1-1.
Chopper, back to the circle. Lowry's got it. Throws to first, and OU did it again. The Sooners defeat the Gators 5-4, and Oklahoma, just the ninth team in history to repeat as national champions. The Oklahoma Sooners, the champions of softball in 2017.
On Sports Radio 730 and 103.9, The Ump.
Did you know 22 Americans die each day waiting for organ transplants, most of them for kidneys? The good news is that MatchingDonors.com is helping to change that. MatchingDonors.com is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that links organ donors with people in desperate need of kidneys and other transplants. And now you don't need to donate a kidney to save a life. You can donate your boat, car, or real estate, with 100% of the proceeds going to help save the lives of people needing organ transplants. Visit MatchingDonors.com or call 800-385-0422.
The most dangerous day for a baby is the first day of life. Those first 24 hours that should be moments of joy take the lives of thousands of babies every day. In fact, every 30 seconds, another child is lost. They die from infections, pneumonia, malnutrition. The worst part, it's preventable. For nearly 60 years, Project Hope has been working around the world to save the lives of mothers and babies at risk. Right now, Project Hope is training local healthcare workers to safely deliver and care for babies in those critical first moments of life. Project Hope is delivering medicines and medical supplies to prevent deadly disease, giving precious newborns the healthy start they need to survive and thrive. This tragedy can be stopped. Make sure her first day of life is not her last. To volunteer or learn more about Project Hope's efforts to save newborns now, visit projecthope.org.
Strong to severe storms across the valley will be ending later tonight. Colder after midnight, the low 49. Tomorrow, cloudy, breezy, and much cooler. The chance of some light rain at times, the high 51. Wednesday, sunny with a cold morning. We start the day around 32, the high at 52. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9, The Ump.
Now back to the big dog. Bark, bark.
She said, don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself.
A little NFL draft talk. We're going to spend some time in spring ball the next couple of days, but of course with the trade that the Jets made, everybody's now scrambling to get their newest mock drafts out there and exactly what all of this means. And joining us now, Jeff Kavanaugh from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, and a certified draft nut, a draft guru, if you will, and he joins us on a Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. Jeff, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. I like all those words. I like stud and guru. I'm in on those.
So you're good with that? I mean, this is an accurate description. I'm not, you know, throwing you under the bus here. I'm giving this is a pretty accurate call on you.
I think you did great. Guru is okay. Stud is kind of really like stud.
Yeah. All right. That works. All right. Now, We'll get to the quarterbacks in the trade in a minute because everybody's talking about the quarterbacks. I want to talk about running backs for a second. I'll give you Saquon Barkley. I'll give you him right now for Ezekiel Elliott. You make the move?
Ooh.
Is he that good? I mean, is he that guy? I mean, we've seen Elliott. Is he that guy? Or is he, you know, I don't want to say Kajana Carter because that was a knee thing and everything else, but Big Ten back to Big Ten back. If I said to you right now, because they talk about Saquon Barkley like he's Jim Brown, you know what I mean? And I'm trying to figure out how much different he is in the end than a Nick Chubb or a Sony Michel backs that I've seen down here in the Dirty South for the last 4 years and are going to be available at the top of the second round. Is Barkley Elliott? Is he Zeke Elliott? Is he that guy where you could take one or the other and you'd have one of the best backs in the league?
I do think he's close. I don't think player for player I would trade Zeke for Barkley. Now, once you factor in everything else and the fact that the league is now out to get Ezekiel Elliott, I might make that trade. I think Zeke is a little bit better at the nuance of the position in terms of feeling how you're supposed to run the football. Barkley, you'll see, bounce it a lot, trying to make a huge play instead of just running the football and getting what he can. But he also adds as a receiver. He's a monster. At Penn State, they'll run him on fly routes out of the backfield. So,
right.
You know, those guys that affect you in the passing game, that's big time in today's NFL. So I think that's a big thing for Barkley. Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, it's tough because they don't throw the ball to them at Georgia. If they're capable, then they can be studs too. We know they can run the ball. But in terms of can they do what Zeke does in the passing game and pass protecting, they weren't asked to. So I don't know if they can, and I know he can.
Yeah, and if he ends up in a place like Cleveland or the Jets, you know, his favorite team, or even the Giants, which I don't think the Jets or the Giants are sitting at 2-3 to pick up a running back. But these places all they don't have the Dallas Cowboy offensive line. You know what I mean? And Zeke, of course, when Zeke was there for his rookie year, that was the greatest offensive line in captivity. And then when he was suspended for, you know, however many games, 6 games, all of a sudden they weren't a great offensive line. They didn't look so great anymore. But, you know, the line makes the back makes the line. But I don't know that Barkley walks into a place like Cleveland necessarily and then can do some damage. That ain't the Big Ten, and that ain't the, you know, that ain't Penn State's offensive line.
No, I agree with you. It's crazy the number of people on the internet I'm having to convince that no, Saquon Barkley's not going number one overall. If you're missing your franchise quarterback, you are not taking a running back at number one overall. But it's weird how much momentum that's gotten. Like, they could really take a running back at number one, and I'm with you. I can't see it. I can't see it at two. I can't see it at three, four, five, six, seven. I think the discussion starts, but I can't see him in the top three because if you're the Giants or if you're the Browns and you're not ready to block for the guy, why are you wasting your pick?
Well, and now they got an issue with a left tackle, you know, with Joe Thomas being out, and that I'm sure, you know, I think that they had an idea of that. You could see what they were doing in free agency. Plus, the kid they got, you know, from San Francisco doesn't suck. You know what I mean? It's not like that guy can't get them some yards as well. So, you know, I think that there's that aspect to it as well. And I think that's why people are starting to talk about Bradley Chubb. You know, can Chubb be a guy that goes first overall, or can they get their quarterback and still circle back and get Chubb at the four spot?
Yeah, they might have a shot at him in the four spot because here's the way that I'm seeing it right now is the Jets traded up from 6 to 3, right? So that's done. If the Jets are going to be picking at 3, they're moving up for a quarterback. They paid the price for a quarterback. They gave up an extra second-round pick for every single spot they moved up. So they paid the quarterback tax to move up. And that means they called the Giants, and the Giants said, no, we're not moving. And that means that they called Cleveland, and Cleveland said, no, we're not moving. The first person willing to let the Jets move was at number 3. So I think it could very well go quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. And then you start talking about having whoever you want that's not a quarterback at number 4. And I think that's the way it's going to go. Maybe the Giants go a different direction, but I think the Giants are going quarterback too. Otherwise, I think they'd be willing to move down. Or maybe do they love Saquon Barkley so much that they would turn down a king's ransom to sit there and pick a running back? I hope not. Well, I hope so. I'm a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, Jeff Cavanaugh with us talking some NFL draft. How would you rate the quarterbacks? Because you got the two kids from LA, and then you got Josh Allen, and then Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and then there's Baker Mayfield, who's kind of a wild card at all this thing. You know, we just don't know. Is he Brett Favre? Is he Johnny? Oh, God, we hate to say that. Those analogies have been far too, too frequent. But the risk reward there versus a guy like Darnold. How do you have these quarterbacks ranked? Or maybe there's a guy in the draft or in the second round that's going to jump up and do like what Dak did as a fourth rounder.
Yeah, the only guy I can see later in the draft is a guy named Kyle Lauletta at Richmond that people kind of like, and he's got a little something. But outside of that, the Josh Allen one is really polarizing, and I'm terrified to be the team that pulls the trigger on that. If you're going to use a top five pick on a guy that, just the way that he actually played football in college is like a guy that can't play, and he did that at a lower level than a Power 5 conference, and I'm supposed to believe that, he's going to get to the NFL and he's going to figure out how to throw the ball accurately. Yeah, I don't care what your highlights look like. I care how you play football. And the best football player today out of the quarterbacks is Baker Mayfield. That's the best player. Mm-hmm. Josh Rosen, if you can block for him, could be the best player. Sam Darnold, if he can stop throwing to the other team all the time, he could be the best player eventually. But today, I think it's Baker Mayfield. So it's kind of what flavor do you want, and where does Lamar Jackson fit in? Because Lamar Jackson can throw the ball better than Josh Allen. I don't care what your highlights look like. How do you consistently throw the football? Lamar throws it a little bit better than Josh Allen. He's going to run for 1,200 yards if he doesn't get hurt. So, he's a game changer. I don't think somebody would be crazy to take Lamar Jackson number one overall. The only thing I would worry about with him is, can your body hold up? Because he's not really a slider. He takes hits. But, I don't think we're hearing enough about Lamar Jackson when we're talking about Josh Allen potentially number one overall and Lamar going, I don't know, where are people saying, in the 30s, the 20s, the 30s? He's not getting bad enough.
The question is, does he sneak into the first round? And then there's Mason Rudolph, who for a minute was, he was flavor of the day for the fifth quarterback taken, or that, possibly fourth guy taken in the Buffalo Bills when they were down low. Bills didn't move up to take Mason Rudolph either, but, he's a guy that's got some skills too. And you're right about Lamar Jackson. I mean, it's just such a wild card in this NFL, and he's a slight guy, and he's going to take a lot of hits. You just got to, RG3 was rookie of the year, and now he's, I don't even know what he does now. He's signing autographs for Baylor or something. So, that's the thing you worry about.
Let me say this about the quarterbacks. I think it's more important than ever with the quarterbacks, and none of these guys are Peyton Manning. None of these guys are stepping into the NFL, and no matter where you put them, they're going to be great. So I think the NFL today is more about the play caller than ever. If you have McVay with the Rams, if you have Peterson, if you have Nagy, if you have these guys who have shown the ability to take their quarterback, build an offense around them, do the zone read, do the RPOs, you make his life easy and you give him a chance to succeed. But the NFL is so slow to adjust that all these offensive coordinators just get to go back through the NFL five times. Head coaches get to come back through five times. You pick a quarterback, no matter what he did in college, you say, this is what we do here. And then you wonder why they fail. Well, you picked a guy who was awesome at something, and then you told him we're going to do something else. That's your fault.
Yeah. Who's the best fit for the Jets? I mean, they do have a Teddy Bridgewater in there, which we don't know. I mean, that guy's like a rookie all over again. If he's healthy, now you got Teddy Bridgewater, and, he looked like he was going to be a guy for Minnesota for a while. But when you look at them, do you say, that's a team that that needs a Baker Mayfield, that's where you could see him end up?
Yeah, I think that's Baker's spot. I think if I had to guess it, I think number one is going to be Sam Darnold. I think number two is going to be Josh Rosen. And I think number three is going to be Baker Mayfield. Now, I know maybe I'm crazy and maybe this Josh Allen thing is real and somebody's going to take him to the top three. But I think that the Jets had to trade up for a quarterback based on what they paid. And I think that they have to know what's happening at one and two or they wouldn't have done it. It's hard to go up and not know that your guy's going to be there. So I think Baker's their guy. I think at three, it's going to be Baker.
The Colts must feel pretty good about Andrew Luck, right, to back up a little bit. If they're going to back up to six, not that there could still be quality quarterbacks there that they could snag if that's what they wanted to do, but they must have a feel that Andrew Luck's going to be all right and be able to return to them as their quarterback this upcoming season.
Yeah, I think that part's true. I think they're obviously optimistic about it. I think the other part is that their former GM, Ryan Grigson, is one of the worst to ever do it, at least in the last 5 years. So that roster is hurting. So the new guy there, Chris Ballard, he's looking for an opportunity to collect some picks. He got a whole bunch of picks out of the trade down. And, it's not crazy that you could still get Bradley Chubb or Saquon Barkley or somebody like that. Maybe it's Minka Fitzpatrick or Denzel Ward, whoever your guy is that you like. But they're going to have a really good player because these quarterbacks, they go so fast. You know, somebody's going to get pushed down that board, and you move down from 3 to 6. And like Danny Ainge, you might still get your guy. And you might, you know, you might be sitting on a gold mine for picks and still get your player. So they need a lot of help. And so that kind of makes sense for them.
Yeah. Jeff Cavanaugh with us talking some draft here. And the Broncos, does Case Keenum take them out of the quarterback business? I mean, yeah, look,
No. I don't think so. I think Case Keenum is your typical Mike Glennon-type move where, you know, John Elway's proven now he's going to have to swing again, but John Elway's proven now that he's better off signing veterans than he is drafting them because he went Brock Osweiler, he went Paxton Lynch, and he's gone 0-2. He's whiffing when he tries to draft these guys. But I still think that for that team, it's going to be real tough for Case Keenum to redo what he just did. Because, you know, he was one of the better quarterbacks in the league, and prior to that, he was just a guy his entire life. So I think it's nice to have just a guy if you're trying to contend today, and maybe you're going to pick a guy who could use a season of watching, and maybe that's Josh Allen, or maybe Josh goes in the top three, and that turns out to be Baker. But I think that's a good spot for a guy who can sit and watch, and you can develop him while Case Keenum tries to win the Super Bowl for 1 year, and then he's probably on his way out.
It's just so hard to figure out what – I mean, if you're picking five, do you want the fourth best guy on the board at one position? You know, typically you'd like to have the best guy. You should be able to get the best corner or the best safety or the best DN or the best lineman, offensive lineman. Whatever it is, you can get the best guy, or you can have the fourth best quarterback. But the thing is, I don't think we know who the hell the fourth best quarterback is. I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4. And I like Mason Rudolph, and I like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
There's 5, 6. Yeah. I don't think we know who the guy is. That's the problem here. It you know, who it's going to end up being.
Yeah, and Mason Rudolph's kind of, what is it? Is it Bryce Petty, the Baylor guy that went to the New York Jets?
Oh, man.
That's kind of what Oklahoma State does for NFL teams trying to evaluate a quarterback. So Mason Rudolph played really, really well in that system. The problem is they're going to look at that system and be like, okay, so he can throw screens, flies, and posts. Got it.
Yeah.
And it's so much different that now you're kind of trying to guess at what he's going to be in the league. But yeah, he can play. I'm with you. The order is going to be really tough. And I don't think any of the NFL teams are going to have him in the same order. I think that Baker's on top for some. Lamar might be. Rosen and Darnold are definitely on top for teams. Maybe Josh Allen somewhere. But no, there's no consensus here. And that's why I think it's more about the fit. It's more about the play caller than it is about the player.
Excellent work, Jeff. Jeff Cavanaugh. He's a draft stud, okay? That's what
stud.
He said. So he's a stud when it comes to the draft. So we'll look forward to talking again before we get to the actual putting names on the board deal.
All right, thanks.
All right, man. Thank you. Jeff Cavanaugh, 105.3, The Fan in Dallas. Is that a sister station of ours? I think we're the Ticket. In Dallas. Is that the Ticket? Is that the FM for the Ticket for 1340 or whatever it is, the Ticket?
Big Dog, to be honest with you, I don't know. I know a guy on that station and he hooked me up with him. So I don't know where
good.
They. Yeah, he was pretty awesome. So
other than having us on a speaker box there, he was pretty good. That's a number we want to save. And by the way, speaking of AMs and FMs and all that kind of stuff, whatever it is they found out about 7:30 AM or AM signal. It might be down for a day. You know, they're doing stuff. Okay, they're doing something. They got stuff. It's a technical term. Stuff is wrong with that thing, but the FM is fine from what I understand. And you're getting a stream, right? T-Mac, are they getting a stream?
Yeah, the FM and the stream is up, and I like your technical term there, stuff, because what stuff means, you know, for those who don't know about radio, that means things are going on.
Things.
You know what I mean? There's some things happening.
Stuff.
You just got to be careful.
Yeah. Yeah, there's the stuff that Tutu Chukwueze and the Sassafras are out of order, apparently, on the AM. So, you know.
If you know anything about radio, you can't operate when a Sassafras is on the fritz. So.
Right, right. And if you don't put your Tutu Chukwueze in the right spot, you're in trouble. I'm just saying. Okay, so we'll come back and wrap this hour up. Sam Abraham Show, 7:30, 103.9 AM.
7:30 and 103.9, The Ump. More sports. Hi, Tom Baudette. Motel 6 is still the place to save money as you travel down the highway. Or, for you Californians, the freeway. Whether you're on a cross-country trek on Interstate 10 or a fun jaunt up State Route 1, a.k.a. the 10 or the PCH, there's probably one of our more than 1,400 locations right down the road. Or, for Californians, just over the hill. But it's rush hour, so I'd take the canyon. I'm Tom Baudette from Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
What's one of your favorite memories?
That's a tough question. Well, there was this one time I went camping with my parents in a forest back when I was maybe like 8 or 9. And I can remember one night we were laying out in our hammocks and we were just, you know, watching the trees rustling in the wind above us, and we could hear the sounds of the forest all around us. Frogs singing and owls calling and the creek running nearby. It was amazing. It felt like we were a part of it all. I don't know if I do it justice trying to describe it, but I'll definitely never forget it.
Most of us have a memory of being in nature we'll never forget. Let's protect the world's natural places so more memories can be made for generations to come. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Catholic Charities is committed to providing life's basic needs. We teach social independence and encourage our clients to want more for their lives and the lives of their families. We seek to break down the walls of division that keep our sisters and brothers excluded or rendered disposable by our society.
We thank you for bringing us all here today, letting these people understand how Catholic Charities runs and how important these people are to the people in the neighborhood. And we ask you to guide them, to protect them, and keep them here forever because this community needs them. And we ask you to bless every single person, whether they're here for help or they're an employee or a volunteer.
Visit www.catholiccharitiesusa.org to learn more.
Weather is sponsored by Boost Mobile. With Boost Mobile, you can get 4 lines for only $25 per line, each with unlimited gigs. Plus, get up to 4 free Samsung J7 perks and 6 months of Hulu.
Strong to severe storms across the valley will be ending later tonight. Colder after midnight, the low 49. Tomorrow, cloudy, breezy, and much cooler. The chance of some light rain at times, the high 51. Wednesday, sunny with a cold morning. We start the day around 32, the high at 52. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Hey, it's our time. Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867. Here's Tom Abraham.
After his visit with the Titans, apparently it was a great visit he had yesterday with the Titans, and he had visited with the Saints as well, and I think he was going to meet with Seattle maybe today, but have we heard anything as to whether or not anything has gone down with that beast?
No, I've actually been trying to keep up with that. He's set to meet with the Rams, too. I'm not sure when, but I saw that this morning. I don't know if that meant today, but he's also going to meet with those guys. So he's still having a party and making his rounds. So it worries me more and more the more teams he meets with after the Titans because they're all pretty good.
31 years old now,
yeah,
and really has not done much for the Dolphins. I don't, you know, you didn't think of Ndamukong Suh. You don't think of him as 31 years old, but you know, he had that 6-year, $114 million deal that he signed with the Dolphins. He played 3 seasons with them. He was due $17 million, but they're still eating $22 million. How bad do you not want a guy where you're willing to eat $22 million in dead money?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Get rid of them. Now, Terrell Williams, who's the D-line coach for the Titans now, was Ndamukong Suh's position coach in Miami, so he knows. But 4.5 sacks last season. 4.5. too much to get excited about. All right, we're coming back for the fabulous 5 o'clock hour, 103 this week. We got one next. Open lines to start the show. Right here at 730-1039.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Op. WUMP.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Sun South John Deere, the preferred tractor equipment for Alabama athletics. Visit sunsouth.com or any of their 21 locations across the Southeast. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart. The Alabama men's basketball team will face Virginia Tech tonight in the second round of the NCAA tournament. The Tide and the Hokies will tip around 8:20 Central Time. Radio coverage on the network will begin at 7 from Pittsburgh. The Tide comes in with a 19-15 overall record and the number 9 seed in the East region. The Hokies come in with a 21-11 record. They are the 8th seed in the East. Again, tip-off time set for somewhere around 8:20. Radio coverage beginning at 7. In the WNIT last night in Tuscaloosa, Alabama was able to hold off Southern University, and the Tide will advance to the second round where they'll host UCF this weekend. I'll have more in a moment.
No one likes to hear the diagnosis of cancer, but 1 in 7 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer this year. With 13 locations, Urology Centers of Alabama is your home team for urologic health care expertise. Our urologists, medical and radiation oncologists, and pathologists work together so you can rest assured our team is your team. To learn how we're leading the fight against prostate cancer, visit ucacares.com. That's ucacares.com.
Bama softball hit a pair of home runs to win at Georgia Tech last night, 3-1. Bama baseball hit 5 homers, including 2 by Hunter Alexander, to knock off Alabama A&M in 7 innings for the second straight night. 14-0 was the final in this one. That's your Bama update. Crimson Tide Today, brought to you by Sun South John Deere, is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
Hey gang, Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
Did you know you can spray Linex on just about anything that needs protection?
More than just, like, bed liners?
You got it. How about adding a non-slip grip to your axe? Or how about a park bench, a trailer, van liner, work truck, or motorcycle?
I never thought of that. You can spray something like this?
Virtually anything you can think of.
I thought you were just the best bed liner around. I had no idea.
Think outside the bed liner and Linex it. Call 256-721-1331 or stop by and see me, Susie, at Linex of Huntsville on Research Park Boulevard.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free when you text the word LIKE to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text LIKE to 797979. Text LIKE to 797979.
The Tennessee Valley Golf Card is back and on sale March 26th. This year's card features a round of golf, including a card at 7 area courses and an hour session at an indoor golf simulator. Visit Gunner's Landing, Links at Redstone, Southern Gales, and Point Mallard. Enjoy a day out at these courses and more, including Pine Hill Country Club, Eagle's Nest, and Links at Briarmead, a $311 value for just $139. And also use it to perfect your swing at X Golf Huntsville. Log on to umpsports.com.
In sports, 5 games were featured in hockey action last night.
Every year, millions of people rely on portable generators when they lose access to electricity. But some of them don't understand that a portable generator's carbon monoxide emissions can kill if their generators...
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The UMP. WUMP Madison. W28 OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus...